This is News Director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone is incumbent Ward 5 Council Member Nancy Erickson. How's it going today, Nancy?
Well, it's going pretty good today, Larissa. Thank you.
All right. So before we get started with the hard and heavy questions, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, like how long you've been in Bemidji and how long you've been on the council?
I have been in Bemidji for over 30 years now. Lived first of all in Nary and then moved to Bemidji proper. So I think I've been in Bemidji proper for about 28 years or so. I've served on the council for a total of 16 years of the last 20 years. I was off the council for 4. And so I have a lot of in-depth knowledge and experience here. I truly considered not running again this term, hoping that there would be some great interest from the ward and that people would come out and file. And I watched the filing for the first week, and there was only one person who filed, and that person files for the seat almost every time. And I became concerned that people would not have a choice. And it wasn't that I didn't have the willingness, you know, that I didn't have the enthusiasm for it. So finally then I did file so that people would be offered an option. Also, you know, it's such a peculiar year. Normally there are 4 council seats open in any 2-year cycle, but this year there will be 6. And because of the resignation of 2 council members who would not normally be up at this time, that's a lot of new faces possibility. And I became quite concerned because there should be continuity, and especially with the challenges that we have today. So I wanted to at least also offer the city that opportunity for continuity. I have an accounting degree from BSU, and so I'm a very financially minded and detailed person, which I think is important too, so that you can really dig into the issues, and I do. So it is my experience and my educational background, my willingness and my enthusiasm for public service that I feel are all assets that I bring to the position.
All right. My next question is concerning some financial issues the city faces, with half the city being non-taxable land and properties. So a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions do you think would solve this problem?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we do a lot of sewer and water and fees that we set so that there can be participation by the non-taxable properties. So, but there is no way that we can turn them into taxable property, so it is a burden, and it's a heavy burden. And we have annexed recently parts of Northern Township, so that has helped with additional city participation in the support of the city. But that is an ongoing burden because we do have an exceptionally large non-taxable property value in this city. We've also been expanding a great deal, and we've had a lot of new construction and new businesses and new residential, more business than residential within the city. And so we are growing, and so that is helping with the tax burden.
Do you support a hospitality or sales tax to relieve some of that burden, especially for the costs of that Sanford Event Center?
Yes, I support a hospitality tax, but it appears that the public does not. And the situation here for setting a hospitality tax requires us to have legislative approval. Same thing with the sales tax, requires first legislative approval. Now, a hospitality tax does not require being placed on the ballot, but a sales tax does. And yes, we're not being able to meet a break even at the Sanford Center in particular. And so that would be helpful too, because it is a community asset. It's a community event center. And the whole entire community, even those who come to use that facility and are staying in our hotels, ought to participate, and that's who would pay the hospitality tax.
All right, my next question is on the Highway 197 business corridor that MnDOT plans to work on in a few years. What do you think should happen there to improve safety? I know MnDOT was just there what seems like years ago, but wasn't that long ago to talk about some of the plans they want to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm not 100% opposed to roundabouts, and those roundabouts are considered a safety measure, but what they were looking at the time that they presented it to us were six roundabouts, and that seemed to me to be excessive, and that was the reason that I could not support it. Also, I never heard from a single business person that roundabouts were going to be an advantage or a benefit to their business, and they were all quite concerned about them. So roundabouts might not be an impossibility, but the number of them and the placement of them will matter to me, and I believe that, you know, would be helpful.
All right. My next question is on another financial one. The city's water system needs an expensive fix, and without those legislative bonding dollars or a sales tax, that burden will likely fall to the utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the project and possible funding solutions?
Well, one of the basic services that a city should provide and is clean water, and certainly, and we have had an issue there, actually created by us unknowingly, in that foam that we used at the airport for industrial fires created by 3M contained a chemical that we were unaware of, and that 3M did not, once they became aware of it, did not inform of, and that has finally leached into our water table. And now we are required to remove this chemical. The shortened version of it is called PFAS, and it is an extremely expensive project. 3M has been ordered by the state to provide dollars for this cleanup, but not in our area. And we are unique in that our wells are also at the airport. So that is what has created such an issue for us. The project is estimated to total around $12 to $16 million. And we just awarded a contract to Rice Lake Contracting for a $6 million contract for the first half of this project. And they will build a building and install huge charcoal filters in that building out at the airport to remove this PFAS. But that is a first phase. So in conjunction with that, we've asked the state to provide the city through their special legislating bonding bill, we hope they will hold this year, with $12 million in the to help pay for it. If that doesn't happen, this first $6 million will create about 14 to maybe 20% increase in the water rates. And so that is a huge concern. But we are also seeking a remedy from 3M. And were we to receive that, any monies from 3M, then the state has asked us to reimburse them up to $4 million for any bonding money that they might provide. So we shall see how this all unfolds. We're right in the middle of that now.
I'll say.
That's right.
All right, my next couple of questions are some current events. Recent events in the city and the state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do if reelected to the council to improve race relations and trust?
You know, it's been an ongoing issue for so long. But I am telling you that what I believe happened, let's just talk about Minneapolis. What I believed happened in Minneapolis, I mean, it was a terrible thing, right? But it was a failure of government. This man, this officer, had a history. His supervisor knew of his history. The personnel department knew of his history. The city manager knew of his history. Perhaps the mayor knew of his history. There were a lot of people who knew that that man did not deserve to be a police officer. And they failed because they left him in his position and gave him greater authority over the public. I believe it was a failure of government. Now, in our city, I know that there is a lot of work that Mike Mastin is trying to do, Chief Mastin, to improve race relations. And I want to hear from him if he believes there is more that we can do. But I trust our policemen in this city. I back them. And I believe they are all good people. They're your neighbors. They are your neighbors. And we have entrusted them to uphold the law in this city. And I believe that if we have an officer that is not fit for duty, that it is our obligation to, and the chief's obligation, and the city manager's obligation to remove that person and to remove them quickly. So I'm hoping that things will settle down here. We did face quite a challenge a couple of weekends ago, and everyone jumped into action, everyone. The fire department, the street department, your police department, and we avoided an issue, and serious. And I support them at this point.
All right, my final question is on COVID-19. While many businesses are beginning to reopen to closer to normal capacity, what do you think the city council's role should be in a public health emergency? God forbid this ever happen again.
Uh-huh. Well, we've taken a really heavy role as it is, huh? I mean, I am concerned about our local businesses and their potential permanent closures. You know, I will be anxious to see when we are fully open, who has survived here. But as a council, we allocated $250,000 of revolving loan funds to low-interest loans up to $25,000 to businesses that were in trouble and needed gap financing. So we have tried to aid our businesses in that way, and three businesses so far have taken advantage of that ability to borrow at a low interest rate. We have that open to the end of the year, so it is still available for businesses that are finding themselves in trouble here. We also spent $12,000 for those the temporary barriers that you see downtown in order that our restaurants could open and have outdoor service. So we have made effort here to continue to provide service and to provide help to this most unusual situation. We have not opened the library yet, but we are in the process of securing PPE for the library, sanitary stations, masks, gowns, etc., and at the Kichigami regional level. And when that director has everything in order, we will open up the library to 10 people at a time for a specific period of time, and they'll rotate in and out of the library. So, you know, we have done as much as we could think of to help aid here, but I do think it's time to open. And we also closed the parks for a while, but now we have reopened the parks and will open the beaches. So it's such an unusual, bizarre situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you kind of work at it as you go and try to resolve as things pop up. But the city has taken an active role and have tried to provide aid.
All right, Nancy, is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you wanted to be sure we mentioned before we wrap this up?
Well, wastewater is an issue for us. I'll just give you a quick list. Wastewater is an issue for us, and recently we spent $5.5 million of sewer funds to put in what's called a final clarifier at the wastewater treatment plant. The plant needs to be upgraded. It needs to be expanded. Its capacity needs to be expanded because our city has outgrown the wastewater treatment plant. There will be more monies that will be required in that plant, too. The stormwater is another issue. We expect to install, we've been mandated by the MPCA to reduce the amount of phosphorus in Lake Irving, and we will use a ditch over on the Rayco property. We call it the Rayco property. City owns it. To install a $400,000 piece of equipment that will remove the phosphorus from what flows in that ditch before it hits Lake Irving. That's planned for 2021. We hope to remove 215 pounds of the 260 pounds we're required to move. The Sanford Center is also an issue. We aren't sure at all what the financial position of the Sanford will be by the end of the year. It isn't known whether hockey will be able to be held there, but we know that we've lost business in there since the COVID shutdown, and so there will be some challenges, financial challenges, for the Sanford Center. Those are the major ones that I have that I think should be mentioned.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Nancy Erickson, for Ward 5.
Thank you, Larissa.